Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me a secret. I don't just want to know about any secret of yours. I want to know about one special secret. Because tonight I want to learn all about the secrets in your garden.
welcome to the sweetest show on internet radio, Honey Soul Radio. I'm your hostess, sex coach, and love connoisseur, the Honey Diva. I am usually joined by my dark and lovely co-host, love coach and sex expert, Miss Lady T. However, Lady T will not be joining us this evening, but we do send her blessings. We send her energy and light. So this evening, for all of you who are calling and who are listening in, we want to thank you for joining us. Here on Honey Soul Radio, we explore love and relationships in all things sensual. Love has a unique heritage, history, and culture that we honor. And we also discuss topics concerning that love, that sensuality, and sexuality. Now, in this episode of Honey Soul Radio, we will be discussing the topic of sexual positions for optimum health. We'll explore optimal health and sexual performance to the power of sexual positioning with the good Reverend Doctor, also known as Dr. Moutoise. Yes, that's right. We are going to take it in the bedroom for some good old sexual healing. Now, Dr. Moutoise is a sixth generational healer and scholar of the sexual arts. He is the author of the Immortality Guide, and he has earned the title the People's Healer for sharing his ancient knowledge of healing and sexual wisdom to encourage others to heal themselves sexually and also express themselves. He teaches that all healing is natural, sexual self-healing can be obtained through the proper relationship with sex. And you can check him out at thepeopleshealer.com. Now, I'd like to definitely say that this topic is very dear to me because I am getting into the educational aspect of how sex positions can also double as exercise, and what better way to get a workout but through orgasm. So me and Dr. Moutoise will definitely be discussing that this evening. We will be sharing different sexual positions with you and giving you the benefit of those sexual positions for optimal health and sexual performance as well. So right now I want to go ahead and thank my colleague in this sacred sexual wisdom and education field, Dr. Moutoise. How are you doing this evening, Dr. Moutoise?
Hey, babe. I'm doing good.
Well, good, good. So how's 2013 coming in for you?
Lovely. It's going It's going good. Mm-hmm. It's going real lovely. So
okay. You've been kind of, off the radar for a minute. So why don't you let everybody know what Dr. Moutoise has been in the lab working on?
Right, right. Well, I've been working on a lot. You know, I mean, I got... It's always about 4 or 5 books that I'm working on.
Okay. Anything else you cooking up in the lab right now?
Yeah, well, I was getting ready to say I'm always working on about 4 or 5 different books at one time, so I've really been in the lab working on that and doing my practice this year. I've been more heavily into the sexual connection between the black man and the black woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so much. I've really been paying a lot of attention to that. The first book I wrote was called The Immortal Nigger, a.k.a. The Immortality Guide, which dealt with the health of the black body primarily, and the extension of that is the sexual health. I talk a little bit, just touch a little bit on it in that book. I wanted to do that to set it up for what was coming in the ensuing year or two after that book was written, which was the sexual connection between the black man and woman, because we have so much out here that's trying to keep us apart that I really wanted to get into that aspect of fucking. You know what I mean? The fucking that keeps you together, because 95%, this is from a survey that I once read a few years ago, said that most women don't know how to fuck, and most men don't. So most women have had a bad teacher, which usually is the man, and so the man has had a bad teacher. So we all are fucking wrong. So I've been on this campaign lately about the proper way to make love.
Okay. So, you know, what I've also recognized, Dr. Mutwa, is that you are right. You know, we have been taught incorrectly how to make love and actually how to please one another and also to get the most reward out of our, you know, sexual connections and our sexual relationships. And I find that, like you had stated, that most women have been taught, you know, through a man, you know, their first lover, second lover, third lover, and she kind of gets primed and molded into their way of making love, you know, their way of having sex, you know, their whole foreplay style, you know, their method of stroke and their method of grind, you know, all that kind of becomes imprinted in her to where now she's always looking for the next lover. If there is a next lover, to come along and actually move and stroke her like the previous one. And many times she's disappointed or frustrated because each man's rhythm is different, you know. So, you know, she's not going to go into, you know, if there's a next relationship and, you know, the other brother may not be, you know, hitting it right in her eyes or in her, in, you know, in her body style, because she has been, you know, molded and shaped through the other brother. But I also want to say that most brothers I recognize as well are their goal is to always ejaculate. That's the goal, you know. That's like the mindset. So a lot of times they're not taking their time with their rhythm and their grind and their stroke, in their slow stroke. They're not taking their time in that area. And what they're doing is they're rushing the process.
Right, right. Well, you know, most of us and most men, we wind up, you know, we wind up getting all of our information about how to make love, you know, from porno and from people before us who, when they didn't have porno, still did not know how to make love, because most of our grandmamas and grandfathers, per se, ain't had time to be trying to make no proper love. They too many raising grandbabies and shit. I'm from the South. We gotta pick this field. You know,
right.
we having babies so we can have another little sucker to help pick, you know, pick these potatoes and plant this corn.
Yeah.
So
for
we ain't got time to be trying to We ain't got time to be trying to fuck properly. So this doesn't get learned. So, you know, even though, even though we come from a people who, when you go back and study the ancient arts, you find out we knew a whole lot about the proper way to fuck. See? But somehow, just like today, we got disconnected and cut off from the root. So now there's a gap. There's what you call the missing link, or what I call the missing stroke.
Mm-hmm.
There's a missing stroke in between, you know, the ancient arts and the modern day art. So now what we're doing is we're not fucking, we're raping. Most of the men, that's what we're doing. And most of the women, since they don't really know, they allow it to go on. So a woman basically allows herself to be raped because she don't know what the proper art
method is.
Right. Making love is. First of all, so for her, it's good. You see what I'm saying? If you don't know any better, then the way a brother will make love to you is good to you. You see, because you don't really have nothing to compare it to. You know she don't know nothing about no ancient arts. Most of us don't, because it's not something that we study now. We did a few hundred years ago, but now it's we don't study making love or study the ancient arts of making love as like we should do, and it's part of our bloodline. It's in our DNA, but we've been disconnected from that part. So
right. With so many other things that we've been disconnected from. So let's talk a little bit about what are What is the agenda with disconnecting black people from their sacred sexual art form? What is the agenda with that? Is that so that, you know, our procreation can be limited? Is that so that, you know, we don't tap into our life force and our creative energy? What are some of your, you know, suggestions and opinions on that?
Well, I love the direction that you're going with it, because it's always good to lay a foundation, you know, which is like the foreplay before you get into the main course. So, and people need to understand, because it's not just so much about, you know, fucking, and the language will be raw that we're talking about. I cuss a lot, for those of you who never heard me on the phone. You know, that's, cussing is my second language, so look over that. And set your ego aside and just hear what I'm talking about, because I'm not trying to tell you exactly, you know, that, you know, I have the last word on fucking. What I'm actually doing is trying to pass on some wisdom that was given to me, because I didn't know how to fuck either. I had to learn how to fuck. I had to learn how to make love to the woman that was in my life, and then I found out as a man, because, you know, as men, you know, that's one of the reasons why we don't know how to fuck, because, number one, you don't want to hear another man telling you how to fuck, especially when you think you know how to fuck. You get what I'm saying? So at some point, though, you have to realize that when your woman is, there are a lot of issues, for example, in a relationship. And this gets back to, I'm going to answer your question while I'm answering this, saying this particular comment. But the way your woman feels on a day-to-day basis, for example, has a lot to do with how you've been making love to her.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? It has a whole lot to do how you make love to her. And for most women, one of the main reasons they have a high level of frustration, and we turn this strictly into the sexual being, because sex is religion. It's the last barrier between hell and heaven. And we don't look at it in those terms. But sex is true religion.
But wait, and it can be hell or heaven.
That's correct. That's correct. And for most of us, it's hell. Right?
Yeah.
For most of us, it's hell. Just like you say, most men, we get in and we jackrabbiting, we popping, we busting, and then we in and we out. You see what I'm saying? And then we get tired of the woman after 4, 5, or 6 months. You get together with somebody, y'all fuck like rabbits. The first, you know, first 4, 5, 6 months, maybe a year. But they tell us that the average relationship, say it again?
The fire's burnt out.
The fire's burnt out, right. They tell us that the average relationship lasts, on average, 2 years. Why? Because you out and fucked each other to death. And you done it wrong, it's worse. So now she leave with a sore puss eye, right, and you leave with old wrinkled dick. After 2 years, you done burnt your shit out. She done burnt, and she burnt out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you done raped her for 2 years. That's basically all you done did. You done raped her for 2 years and masturbated. So you see, so the sex that we have is kind of, you know, it's almost political. So this gets into the question that you asked. One of the main reasons that we are disconnected, the agenda is, number one, is to stop black folks from having sex anyway. You see what I'm saying? To stop black folks from fucking anyway. It's always been a political agenda. Number one is to keep the black race from populating and recreating itself. So in order to do that, you have to put a certain type of agenda in place, or a certain type of sexual ethos, if you will, into the black culture, so that the way that the black man and woman relate to each other is not so much from a familial and a lovemaking standpoint, but it's almost like when, you know, two black folks make love, it's the art of war. That's what it is. It's almost like war, because the way we make love to our women is based on rape. The way a man normally makes love to a woman is based on years and years of rape of sequences. In other words, when the way we stroke a woman now is a move that comes out of war where when soldiers take over a village, whatever, that's how they rape the women. The same way we make love, the most brothers, our sisters, is the same way soldiers rape a woman when they go into a village. Them same moves. You see what I'm saying? So this is what you're doing when you make love to your sister. You see what I'm saying? You're raping her.
So let's talk about that. Why don't you tell us what moves are actually being performed in this area of so-called lovemaking and so-called rape?
Well, number one, when you make love to a woman, let's start. First of all, there ain't none but basically two positions, facing and non-facing. That's the basic position. Facing or non-facing. You're going to be either doing one of those two things, and then there are variations on that thing.
Right.
All right. That's number one. But the how black folks now making love has been taught to us, number one, primarily in this country in the 1800s and 1600s through slavery. The moves that, why? Because our moves have been geared on fuck a woman, get her pregnant, get a baby, the woman is breeding, and that's all. So we basically been taught to fuck like rabbits and dogs, and so that's the way our strokes are right today. It's rape, it's pillaging, you see what I'm saying, it's war. So this is what we do, and that ethos, sexual ethos, is still within our legacy and has been passed down, and right today we still continue to fuck like that. And we've never really gotten away from it. We've never really broken that chain because we have been cut off from the ancient sexual arts.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about ancient sexual arts that has actually been taken and actually renamed. You know, am I correct? Such as the Tantra and the Kama Sutra.
Right. The Tantra, mm-hmm. the Kama Sutra, the Anangaranda, you know what I mean? The internal embrace. They have all of these arts that they use, you know, martial arts. You know what I mean? For example, you take a lot of moves from the ancient martial arts. Those moves, primarily, for example, in Tai Chi, those moves are moves that are based on a mating ritual. You know what I mean? It's just like when a peacock is trying to get the bird. He does all of these moves, or he go through all of these moves, fanning his wings, standing on one leg, all kind of shit. Those are those martial arts moves are mating rituals. You see, so this is why. Now, if you understand this, this is why it's so important. When our sisters, for example, let's back up a minute. When our sisters, for example, are trying to attract a mate, it's very important to understand your actions and the things you do, so you make sure you're not sending the wrong signal.
Exactly. You got to get your love language together.
So this is one of the reasons we have a lot of miscommunication. And this, again, see, the way society is set up, all it does is create tension and war between the black man and the black woman, because the sister will go out of the house not realizing that she's sending all types of mating signals, but then she's wondering why she's being offended by brothers.
Right, because she's sending off the wrong signal. Yes.
Right, because our basic, you have alerted our mating signal. And so that part of us, we have never lost. The problem is we don't know how to address it, because we live in a society that has confused these issues among us. So it's a lot of political shit going on. So this goes back to your original question about what the agenda is. The agenda is to keep this constant miscommunication and confusion going between men and women. And as a result of that, we do not know how to relate to each other before we even get to the bedroom. So you know, if we wind up getting to the bedroom, it's going to continue to be a miscommunication for the most part. So we're going to bring all of that baggage in that society has taught us. You know what I mean? We have been taught to make love to each other by white folks. Now, I'm not necessarily blaming white folks, but what I'm saying is they have primarily made this their society, and they have a different way of how they primarily communicate to one another. Or I should say the elite of this country, who have taken over the way folks communicate to one another.
You know, to even elaborate a little more on that, and I'm glad that you brought that up, is that, yes, they, you know, they in really, in speaking, white folks do have different sexual methods and different sexual protocols. And we, a lot of that has to do with their rhythm, because they don't have the rhythm. They
right.
don't have that melanin that gives them that rhythm. They don't have that connection to the rhythm of the sun, or, you know, the rhythm of the heartbeat. You know, and there's some other chemical, you know, biological effects going on with Europeans. And so, yes, they're not going to make love or have that same degree of rhythm that we do as black people, you know, because
right.
of our melanin content.
Right. It's just like dancing.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And
you know
also the music, just in the music itself.
Right. Right.
You know, I
right.
think Dave Chappelle did a skit on how every culture had a different instrument that
mm-hmm.
touched the music of their heart. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
for black people, it was the drum. It was the 808. It was that bass beat. It was that drum.
Right.
You know, you
right.
could, anytime we get that bass and we feel that,
mm-hmm.
you know, we feel that rhythm of that drum, you know,
mm-hmm.
our head gets to vibe and our body gets to moving
right.
and we get to sway into that drum. And for, I think, for the Latinos, they had, like, them horns. It was a horn section, like a little Latin horn section. And the Latinos
right.
got the, you know, doing the cha-cha and the merengue. But for white folks, it was the electric guitar, you know. And I looked at that because there was so much truth in, you know, the skit that he did. Because, you know, when the white folks hear the electric guitar, they just go crazy, you know. That,
right, right.
You know, that's their instrument. That's what touches their spirit. You know, that's where they find their rhythm. And if you know, if you hear an electric guitar and how off key that thing is half the time, you know, there's really not a whole lot of structure with the electric guitar.
Right,
so,
right. We like that bass guitar.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
we like
do.
That Isaac
yeah.
Brother guitar.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, although, personally, I don't like no music. I just like the sound of us making love. That's the music to me right there.
Mm, okay, the music of the soul, huh?
Oh, Lord have mercy. The slapping.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And just going back to signals in love language, we had a show previously where I talked, you know, me and Lady T had talked about love language, and you came on and you gave a really good definition of how you know, the estrogen and the testosterone, and you also brought up some other chemical benefits of the body and how they are released in women, and it makes them softer. And then also
right.
how, you know, the chemical release from men that makes them harder. So
mm-hmm.
these signals, as far as our mating rituals, the things that we don't even recognize, I'm talking about the unconscious language, the unconscious signals, are
right.
still very loud. Because I noticed the softer, the more feminine, and the more sensual a woman, the more attractive she is to
right.
men.
Right. Right. Well, see, that's important too. I mean, you know, really, you know, and that's primarily all I've been talking about. I'm working on a book called Nigga Sutra, and it's about the art of making love the way black folks have always made love, you know, going back to what we was talking about earlier, the ancient arts and all of that, and understanding it. And it's not just about fucking, but it's about philosophy as well, a fucking philosophy, because we don't have that, you know what I mean? So the fact that you're talking about chemicals, for example, is so critical, because that goes into how, for example, that goes into what you eat. That goes into how when you're making love. So you release different chemicals if you're making love in a normally traditional way in which a woman is being raped, which may feel good to her, and it gets mixed up with pain, with pleasure. You know what I mean? That's kind of BDSM type of way. That's primarily a European ethos. Now, understand when I'm saying this, in case some Europeans are listening. I'm not knocking y'all, but I'm just saying that's really more what comes out of y'all culture. And
mm-hmm.
so it fits
right.
y'all. You see, but primarily BDSM don't fit black people because the art of making love is not about bringing pain. You see what I'm saying? See, so, but what we have a mindset that has actually convinced themselves we can actually mix up the two, and it'll be okay. So, in other words,
yeah.
you have many women, they can't even get an orgasm unless you knock the shit out the pussy.
Yeah, unless you beat
you gotta beat the pussy out.
Oh,
you
know
what I mean?
No, I
I'm like,
it.
Damn,
I
I'm like, damn, shit, she ain't came yet. Now punch me in my pussy, baby. Punch me. I need a little sauce from this motherfucker.
Beat it up. Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
give me a Mike Tyson up in this motherfucker. Oh, damn, baby, you want to give me a black eye to the pussy?
I
want
a
you want a black eye to the pussy?
Black eye to the pussy, yes.
Like, no, you got the wrong brother, baby. I I'm a lover. I ain't no fighter.
Right. Yes. you know, yes. So let's talk a little bit about that, about how, you know, we've gotten conditioned into, you know, beating up the pussy and also just kind of doing these jabs and these, you know,
right.
and not really putting our soul into
right.
the lovemaking experience. I don't even necessarily call it lovemaking. I call it sex.
Right.
Because there is a difference.
Right.
There's
right.
a difference.
Right. There's a difference. Right, there's a difference. I mean, you know, you got to bring some sexcitement to the sex. You know what
I mean? And for those of you who are listening, I'm not talking about as things build up in your sexual performance and in your lovemaking and you get to that heightened state of awareness where you're at that climax. Because I mean, what I've experienced most, you know, 90% of people hit that climax, it's on. You know, it's like,
right.
ain't no turning back. You know, for those
right.
who are more sexually advanced and have some sexual wisdom and education and some sex magic in their spirit, in their field, in their knowledge, then you know that when you get to the climax, it's good to hold back. You know, but for the most part, most people are going over the edge. They're going over
right.
there. They're not going to get to those 9 levels of orgasmic states of bliss. You know, most people don't even know they have that. They get to 3 or 4, and they done.
Right,
you know?
Right. Well, just the fact that
yeah.
the fact that you're mentioning that, I mean, for example, take Tantra. Take Tantra, Kama Sutra, whatever it is that you want to call it. The most black people in the modern-day age, now, mind you, when I say this, I'm still glad Negroes and black folks have actually even attempted to come back to self through the sexual arts that are out there. But most of the
right.
Tantra and the Kama Sutra that we've been introduced to have come from out of the writings of Europeans. In other words, they're the ones that stole our shit and reintroduced
uh-huh.
it back to us. And so when we're talking about Tantra and Kama Sutra, you understand what I'm saying? We're reading it from a European standpoint, you know,
in
quite
perspective
naturally.
And mindset, yeah.
Right. They've gotten a lot of the works and you know, stolen a lot of works and brought them out and you know, written books about them, you understand? But, you know, there are a few brothers out here and sisters. For example, Muad Ashby, I used to have a black bookstore, and we sold one of his books about the African medic sciences of making love. So check
uh-huh.
him out. I mean, who have actually went back and looked at the works and say, okay, well, let me write this from a, you know, kinetic science aspect.
Now, who, what book is that?
It's called, look under his name. It's Muad Ashby, Muata, Ashby, Ashby.
Okay.
And the book will say something about kinetic African sciences or something like that.
Okay.
But under his name, you'll come across one of the titles that he did about, you know, the ancient arts of making love.
Mm.
But
okay,
so
great.
To the, you know, brothers like that, you know, who have gone back and read the material and then reinterpreted for the black mind. So we need a lot more of that. And this is what type of thing that we have to do as people. So the artists that are out there, we actually have the genetic code of this still lodged within us. So all we need to do, you know, I call it sexual intuition, which is what I work with a lot. We need to start being more sexually intuitive when we're making love. Because when you start to be sexually intuitive, then you start to tap in and bring out aspects of how you really need to make love to your woman and how you really need to make love to your man in a way that heretofore that you never even imagined that you could do.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? So this is why we need to, this is the place to which we need to move our lovemaking, but it's also the very thing which we've been disconnected from because we live in a society that is geared toward that political agenda you brought up earlier, which is about keeping us apart rather than bringing us together. So there is no agenda for trying to bring the black man and the black woman together. That agenda is to destroy that relationship between us, and primarily they've done a good job.
Yes. I agree. They have, but like you were saying, at least, you know, you have some of us that are going back to into the Tantra and into the Kama Sutra, which
right.
is really our knowledge, but has been kind of given back to us because it's actually been regurgitated.
Right.
And given back to us in, with a European philosophy attached to it. So also, if I can make a suggestion of a book, it's called The Secret Science of Black Male and Female Sex by T.C. Carrier. And when we get to the break, I'll go ahead and put that up in the chat room. And I just want to say that that book is amazing as far as finding the secrets to orgasm and oral sex and sexual rituals and sexual healings. And
right.
it is from a perspective of for melanated people. And it also goes into physical and spiritual dimensions of ancient Egyptian and African philosophies. So most get into that so that you can at least tap into, you know, the original forms of what it is that participates in mandate sexual spirits as Africans or as melanated people, should I say. So
right.
Dr. Moutois, real quick before we go to break, sexual positions for optimal health. So we are going to be exploring some optimal health in the performance of sexuality with sexual positioning. So right before we
right.
get to break, can you go ahead and name or let us know how important it is for us to properly extend our sexual positioning so that we can maintain the benefits of good health?
I mean, you know, I really wish we had more time. There's just so much that, you know, I want to say, you know, I've been gearing up for this like I gear up when I'm getting ready to make love. So I'm full, and, you know, I want to take my time and get it out there. You mentioned the rituals. I mean, it's endless. I mean, there's just so much more because this is so critical. But the importance of the position, I cannot stress, you know, the importance of positions. As I was saying earlier, for those who missed it, there are only two basic positions, facing and non-facing. And then after that, you have offshoots of variations on the theme. And those themes are those various subpositions are based on any number of things, number one among them having to do with healing, you see, because when you take it back, once again, to the ancient arts, most of the positions that we are supposed to get in or wind up having ourselves in are really geared toward healing. You see what I'm saying? Because that's what true fucking is about. True fucking is not so much the act of sex as we know it in the traditional sense. The true act of fucking is because you're trying to heal something or you're trying to bring something into existence. See, the pleasure principle of the sex is almost a byproduct. It's almost a byproduct. It's almost incidental to the issue at hand, which is the healing, which is the manifestation, which is what you're trying to do. But when you're speaking this particular language to the average person nowadays, the shit is boring to them.
Right.
Because it's not a language that they speak, and they don't really know what you're saying because society hasn't taught us this. So we're like 1,000, 2,000 years removed from the act.
The knowledge. Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? But the true idea of having sex is about the internal embrace. So this is why when you look at a lot of these old pictures and stuff, you always see the man and woman linked up. Because we're supposed to link up and never let go. What does that tell you? That means that when you get in a sexual position, you're really not supposed to come out of it for a long period of time.
Okay.
But that doesn't happen because it's based on instant gratification.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You see what I'm saying? But if it's done right, then the problems that, for example, men have with their women, I once made a joke. I was saying that one of the main reasons that men have a problem with their women is because they're not fucking them right.
It's the best truth.
Sex would make your woman, right, would make a crazy bitch sane.
It's the truth.
You know what I mean? So if you're having problems with your woman, you're doing something wrong. You're doing something wrong. And I know that's a heavy responsibility to lay on brothers and sisters, but, you know, it wasn't until I got older, now I'm in my 50s, coming up on 60, that it took me to learn just what that exactly meant when I set my ego aside and realized, okay, I see the wisdom in that now. I see what my responsibility is, and so I can see why my woman would be acting a certain way or the issues that I'm having for my woman have a lot to do with the fact on how I make love to my woman. Once I was able to admit that to myself, then it made me a better lover, and then I stopped having issues with women in that particular sense. So, I mean, it is magic. It's magical. It's a miracle, whatever you want to call it. But it's worth learning if you want to be happy in your relationship with the women that you relate to.
Well, for one, it brings proper balance to the union. You have the male who is, you know, that electrode, and then you have the female who's magnetic. And, of course, if you put them together and if they are actually performing, you know, their love-making process, if they're doing it on a, like you say, everything comes with intent. That's the main thing that we have to really be focused on when we are making love, is we have to be focused on an intent. Everything in the universe is drawn and attracted to us and one another through intent. You know, you also have some background in law, and in law, in the court of law, you know, a lot of times you are criminalized and you are charged based on your intent. You know, it's really not always the crime as much as the intent behind the so-called crime. So
Right. Everything
in life is based on intent, and that also goes in alignment with your sexual activity. When you,
right.
when you are coming together in that union, in that bond, in that soul connection, in order for you to tap into the law of abundance in the universe, you and your mate have to have the same intent. And then all things are possible. And that's why it's so important when, you know, people, the marriage contract, the so-called marriage contract, when really it's just consummation. The words and the paper and all that, okay, that's cool if you want to get into that government contract. But really, when you're getting into a marriage contract with a man or a woman, that's why they always say you're not really thoroughly married until you consummate. So you have to have that connection.
Right, until you go to the altar. I mean, you know, the pussy is the altar. And everybody needs to kneel before the altar. You see what I'm saying?
And that's why it's so important that the elders always said, you know, once you become married and you become one, you're blessed. And it was based on you having that soul connection of intent and consummating that relationship.
Right. I mean, it's you know, it's church up in here. I mean, it's just that sacred. It's just that divine, and it's just that important. You know what I mean? We're supposed to always be making love. That's the message of the internal embrace and all of these statues and pictures that we see. The eternal embrace. We're supposed to always be in a state of love making, because if you're constantly in a state of love making in the divine, then you really do nothing. In other words, you're in heaven. So nothing can really bother you or get to you, because you're constantly creating this environment in which you and your lover are walking around in heaven all day. You see? So because we're missing that stroke, and we're missing that disc, we have that disconnect, then this goes without. So this show is about just reconnecting you back to that where you're supposed to be, because it's critical. We're in a critical state now. In 2013, going forward, you got to step up your sexual relations, you know, with one or two or whoever you involve with, if you want to take your life and your relationship to the next level. You got to stop. Allowing a man to rape you, and you got to stop raping your woman, and allow that shit to come to a level in which it's highly sacred, in which it's highly valuable. You see, many women are frustrated because, you know, many women, for example, don't come enough. They just don't come enough. A lot of women do. Some women, you know, have trigger, just like some men have premature ejaculation. Some women have a trigger where, you know, they can pop off real quick. But there are so many women, 70%, right, if we believe the statistics, that don't even mm-hmm. have an orgasm primarily.
79, so, yeah.
Right. You see what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So many women simply ain't coming, or they ain't coming enough. And in today's world, right, the black man owes it to himself, number one, to truly learn how to make love to his woman. Number two, he owes it to his woman to be able to make her have as many orgasms as she wants. A woman should be able to get as many orgasms as she needs, because with all of the shit that the black woman has on her shoulders now, since society has basically promoted her into the position where the black man should be, she has a lot of stress on her that has been imbibed into uh-huh. her body. And so in order for her to get the amount of release she had, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, 7, 8 orgasms, same time they can do it. Shit, she may need to have 40. 50, and we need to be able to hang in the motherfucker saddle.
We talk about it in a week, right?
No, in a day, goddamn it. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm gonna be laid out.
In the saddle, but see, check it out. If he's doing it right, she won't even get tired.
You won't
even pass out.
Yeah, he'll get energy. Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Because what happened is y'all will wind up working together in such a way that she'll just be able to be like the Energizer Bunny. Keep going and going and going and going and going and going. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he'll
yeah.
be able to stay in that saddle too. You see what I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
since we're really not involved in thinking about the internal brace, but thinking more about, I'd be glad when the shit is over, or I've done my job, she's had 3 or 4 orgasms. You know, some women will say, well, you know, I only need 2 or 3. You understand what I'm saying? You may need 2 or 3, but you, if you reconfigure your sexual life differently, then you may realize that actually you need more than 2 or 3. You need some little popcorns in there on the way up to the major 2 or 3, and you may need about 20 or 25 of them little popcorns, you know what I mean, before you hit your major 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But again, it's you know, our lovemaking is based on being in a hurry and more of the disconnect and arriving at the goal. And so it can seem boring, or it can seem like I ain't got that type of time. You know what I mean? Well, you need to make time for this, because it's just that important, but we don't think about how critical it is, and so we don't really make time for it.
Okay.
And so the positions, what we're talking about, a lot of the positions have a lot to do with the particular act of helping your woman orgasm and for helping you sustain an orgasm. So we can talk about that, you know, if you need to take a break when we come back.
Yes, and for all of you who are listening, we want to thank you for joining us. We couldn't do this without you. Now, if you'd like to call in and get in on this Honey Sweet topic, call 323-784-3608, or you can visit us online in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/honeysoul. We are with Dr. Moutoir, and we are discussing and exploring sexual positions for optimal health, and we will be right back in 5 minutes. So we want you to stick and stay right here, Honey Soul Radio.
Stay in place, don't move.
Love and happiness, yeah, something that can make you do wrong, make you do right, yeah. Love, love and happiness. Wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah, talking about how she can make it right, yeah. Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah. Oh, baby, love and happiness.
Love and
evenings have never been sweeter. Honey Soul Radio. Welcome.
Une plaie de temps avec Dieu. Je ne les ai pas vus. Il est temps encore oui.
Sweetest show on internet radio, Honey Soul Radio. I am your hostess, sex coach, and love connoisseur, the Honey Diva. And here on Honey Soul Radio, we explore love and relationships in all things sensual. Black women have a unique heritage, history, and culture, and we honor that love with topics concerning love, sensuality, and sexuality. And in this episode, we are discussing and exploring sexual positions for optimal health with the good Reverend Dr. also known as Dr. Moutois. Now, Dr. Moutois is a sixth-generational healer and scholar of the sexual arts. He's the author of the Immortality Guide. He has earned the title the People's Healer for sharing his ancient knowledge of healing and sexual wisdom to encourage others to heal and sexually express themselves. He teaches that all healing is natural sexual self-healing and can be obtained through the proper relationship with sex. You can also check him out at thepeopleshealer.com. That's www.thepeopleshealer.com. Now, for all of you who are listening, we want to thank you so much for joining us. Now, if you'd like to call in and get in on this Honey Sweet topic, call 323-784-3608, or you can visit us online in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/honeysoul. How you doing tonight, Doc?
Hey. That was good. And if they need to reach me offline, it's 314-875-0482 if you want to, you know, set up some type of sexual seminar, what have you. You know, me and Honey Soul, we're going to be working together and going through 2013, dealing with the sexual magic, real sexual magic, not this counterfeit shit that's
right
out of town. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's amazing that you said that, because we've done a few shows, and we've also gotten together on a few things and chopped it up, you know, and really gotten in on the actual, you know, sacred sexual arts and how it is a measure of healing for us in our people. And in real brief, I want to talk a little bit about intimacy. I want to talk about that missing link that you brought up earlier in the show. I always said, you know, at the beginning of my studies, that is something that I really realize is missing in our connection as Black people, you know, in Black love, in Black sexuality, in the art of lovemaking, is intimacy. So what are some things that, how can we position ourselves, Dr. Moutois, to where we can reconnect with that intimacy among Black love and Black sexuality?
If you get a woman's mind, you can get the woman's behind, and vice versa. You know what I mean? So that's what it comes down to. Developing intimacy is geared toward mental stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to spend a lot of time between a woman's ears, and then getting between a woman's legs is, you know, that's the afterthought, you know. And I know that's nothing something that's original, but I think what people are missing about that quote is how deep, you know, it goes. You know what I mean?
And how real it is.
See, I think people say it, but they pay lip service to it. You know, but you got to get in any person's mind, and then behind is, you know, that's the icing on the cake. So that means you have to spend a lot of time speaking, talking to a woman, to a man. You know what I mean? So that by the time that you get to the art of making love, it's an afterthought, but you develop a high level of intimacy, because that intimacy is a vibe. It's like rubbing on a crystal ball, or rubbing on a, you know, creating static electricity. You know, the more you rub, say, a balloon on a carpet, it builds up more and more atoms. So the more that you stimulate a person's mind, then the higher the intimacy will be by the time that you get to the sexual art. So you need to exchange ideas, because the very act of exchanging ideas is itself erotic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a very high level. You know what I mean? And so you have to keep it at that level, and this is what intimacy is. So even after you have consummated the act, and you're with your woman, you're with your man, you have to create that intimacy, that environment of intimacy through constant stimulation. So y'all should stay constantly stimulated. And so it's an art in itself, and this is where the sexual intuition comes back in. It's an art in itself in keeping your woman stimulated and keeping your man stimulated so that the love doesn't dry out, the candle doesn't burn out in 2 years or what have you. You see what I'm saying? So the intimacy is you have to fine tune it, and it's a delicate balance, because if you push too hard, you blow the candle out.
Okay, I feel you, and I understand you completely on that, because I am very motivated by mental stimulation. But you have some brothers, they don't, you know, I call old school, call it macking. You know, they macking ain't up to par. So what would you say to some of them brothers that, you know, because see, what I'm finding out, Doc, is that a lot of older, you know, men, you know, that got that lover thing with them, you know, they not passing that art down. You know, macking is like a lost art. So what would you say to them young brothers that's really trying to get into satisfying their woman and getting into the pleasure zone of it and getting into the intimacy and the soul connection? What would you say to him as far as him gaining and reestablishing or even establishing some you know, the art of language and the art of mental stimulation?
I would say nothing. I ain't passing it down either. I ain't passing shit down either, y'all.
Oh, shit.
No.
You ain't even going to help a brother out.
Hey, look here. I'm going to kick him right down, goddammit. No, seriously. I'm just playing. But, you know, what I would say is what was told to me. And, you know, sometimes, you know, my favorite people on the planet are babies, you know what I mean, and old people. You know, I love being around young children and listening to them, just listening to their conversation. Anybody that knows me know I have a lot of children. So I listen to my children. You know, I write about them and talk about them on my page a whole lot because they fascinate me, and they always have. And, you know, I'm glad my children have a good relationship with me where they actually tell me, Bob, I love you. I want my man to be like you, Bob. That shit make you feel so good when your little girl tell you that. You know what I'm talking about? So, but I've taken a lot of time. I developed and devoted a lot of time to my children, you know, especially my girls, you know what I mean? I'm listening to them and the old people. And one of the things that old people say, sometimes it's just wise and it don't seem like it make any sense. But some of the greatest advice that I ever got from an old person was, take your time. You know what I mean? So if you want to improve your game, your macking game or what have you, you need to start taking your time. The average man is in a hurry to get that pussy. They're in a hurry to get it. You see what I'm saying? And when you're in a hurry, like most people, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. When you're rushing out of the house, you're going to forget your keys. Like, damn, you're going to forget your hat. Man, you got to go back. You got to constantly go back in and out of the house before you can even get in the ride and get going.
Right. You forgot your wallet, your driver. Like, you forgot everything.
Right.
Yeah.
You forgot everything. So most of us men, you know, we're in a conquering, in a prey mode, so we're in a hurry to get the plus side. So because you are in a hurry, that comes across as desperation. You're thirsty, as the new Jack say. They say you're thirsty.
Right, thirsty, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So you come across as thirsty, and that's what's happening. And if you don't come across as thirsty, you're still ruining your game because you're in such a hurry to get it that any woman will pick up on it. And then she gonna turn the tables on you. She gonna play you. She
pretty
gonna
much.
She know you thirsty.
Yeah, she know you hungry for it. Yeah.
Right. You see what I'm saying? And it's a dog-eat-dog world out here. You see what I'm saying? But it's a cat-eat-dog world out here. You see? So slow down and actually start listening to what a woman is saying, anybody is saying. But since we're talking about relationships, slow down and start actually listening to what a woman is saying, and you will improve your macking game. as you put it. You see what I'm saying? It's like the old joke say, you know, the cow is talking to the bull, the young male cow is talking to the bull, and he say, hey, Papa, let's run down there and fuck all them cows. And the old bull says to him, say, no, let's walk down. No, he said, let's run down there and fuck a cow. And the old bull said, no, let's walk down and fuck them all.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Now, you just gave up some game right there.
You just,
you just gave up the wisdom right there, and that one right there.
You
young brothers that need a little instruction, you know, go ahead and take some Baba Mutwa.
Right. Stop running, nigga. Stop running after these women. Stop running after these women. You're thirsty. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just remain in place. Remain in place. They'll find you. A woman already know if she want to be with you or not by the time you even get on tour. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah,
what you running out there for?
We've already picked up on your energy.
Correct. And they've already seen you. They've already noticed you. All of that. And so all you got to do is remain, be like the peacock. Just show up. She'll see what you got. She'll see what you about. You know what I'm saying? If she done her research, which is what she's supposed to do, she done her research, she's checked you out, she's asked questions about you. I always use the story, the great love story about Solomon and Sheba.
Right.
Because Sheba got with Solomon. She asked all kind of motherfucking questions.
Mm-hmm.
She heard about him in a whole other land.
Yeah, the stage was already set. Yeah.
Right. She heard about him in a whole other land, and she said, this nigga's about this. Let me go check him out. She came, and she came correct when she came. She traveled hundreds, thousands of miles to come see what Solomon was about after doing her research. And then when she got with him, she didn't just lay down. She asked him a million questions.
Oh, yeah. You
see what
I'm saying? She had, just like he was testing her, she was testing him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You see, but he didn't go out to Sheba. She came after him.
Right.
Because she had already heard about him. So it just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing, and the woman that's interested in you, that may be the one for you, she'll hear about you some type of way. She'll find you, and when she finds you, she should find you doing what you're supposed to be doing. Because that's what attracts a woman to you. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. See, and the universe will take care of that and bless you with whoever you're supposed to be with.
Right.
Then y'all will be like Solomon and Sheba. Then you'll be able to make a baby who will become King Menelik.
Uh-huh.
You see, he'll be a king. So all this stuff, man, you know, it's an art. And it's a lost art, and we don't pay any attention to it. So everybody should be steeped in the story of Solomon and Sheba. If you ain't read it, read it and read it two or three times until it gets down in you and you understand the spiritual aspect of what you're reading about Solomon and Sheba and what transpired between these two great black people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was intimacy.
Right. And the legacy that was left. Yes.
Right.
Through that connection. Mm-hmm.
So that was a high level of intimacy right there. Just their dialogue, you know, that's in the soul scrolls. You know what I mean? She asked some beautiful questions, man. It's just, you know, I read it all the time because it inspires me and gives me hope for the black man and the black woman. You know, and I talk about it everywhere I go when I'm talking about sexual arts and sexual healing and sexual intuition. You see? How we relate to one another has to be on that level. King to queen, God to goddess. You know what I mean? And we're asking one another some deep questions, some philosophical questions. And then at some point we can lay down together and produce this magic. You understand? When we get together, and if we do it right and if we stay and keep that intimacy at the level it's supposed to be, we'll be able to be together for a long time. You know, the flame won't go out. It'll be the eternal flame. It'll be the internal embrace.
Now, Dr. Mutwaz, you said something a few times, and I want you to be very clear on that for me and the listeners. Sexual intuition. I want you to go ahead and break that down so that we can get a clear understanding of what that means for us.
Sexual intuition is when you you know, they often talk about when you, that people should meditate, and when you meditate, you can tap into your higher self. You've heard that, right?
Yes.
Right. Well, sexual intuition is the same thing, except you're bringing that intuition, right, and that meditative state into the bedroom, so that when you're making love, you tap into yourself, you know what I mean, and you tap into your woman. You're supposed to be able to get so close to her, right, the ancient art said you get so close to her that y'all breaths are the same, so to speak.
Right.
So that when you talking, when you're in the state of embrace, you're listening, you know what I mean? I can show you better than I can tell you.
We got 30 minutes left. I'm like, he ain't got into it yet. He ain't got, oh, here we go.
Right, I knew
at some point you was going to be a show me state man.
Right. But, right, I'm just following your lead on it, because the positional aspect of it, the sex aspect of it, for example, when you are making love to your woman, for example, we got the facing, as I say, the non-facing. So that was my cue. I'm going to take that as my cue, being to get on into it. And if we need to go a little overtime, can we do that?
Sure.
Okay, so I know some people may have some questions, or those on the line or what have you, but you know, it's kind of hard just to rush right into the positions without setting up the background, which we had talked about first, and the historicity of it and all of that, because
yes,
then it makes a lot more sense when you start talking about the positions. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, you need some time, and then you just can't rush right into it. So staying right in line with the exact problem that happens between us. We don't take enough time to understand what it means when you make love to a person. So it's like that first 90 minutes, we had to lay that foundation, because now when you get into the sexual positions, hopefully you can understand a little bit more about what I'm saying when you get into these positions. So the positions that you get in that I was speaking about earlier, for example, all have a lot to do with what needs to go on. See, so we know about, for example, we know about the missionary position. We heard about it, but do we know really why a person needs to be in the missionary position? See, that shit becomes crucial, you know, for all myriad of reasons. From number one, trying to have a baby. Number two, trying to heal a woman's womb. Many of our sisters' womb have basically been traumatized because for most of their love-making years, the womb has been beaten up and traumatized. Most women are bearing trauma in their womb, and they don't even realize it.
Right.
So the position that you're in will make a hell of a whole lot of difference in how the woman's womb is able to heal. You have to, that has to transpire so that the cervix, many women's cervix, for example, has been traumatized and damn near beat out of shape. You see? So that goes back to what I was saying earlier. And as a result of that, many women can't even orgasm. That's one of the main reasons women can't orgasm, is because the uterus has been beat up. The cervix area has been traumatized.
Right.
And almost
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I actually, the women that come to me, some of my clients who have hysterectomies, many times they find themselves not being able to obtain an orgasm, and that has a lot to do with that pressure and that impact
right.
that the penis had
right.
on the cervix. You
right.
know, the cervix
right.
is now gone, so they're not getting that pressure and that penetration mm-hmm. to their cervix. So I have to help them redirect their orgasm.
Right. So therefore,
uh-huh.
if you are in a missionary position, for example. For a woman who's had a traumatized cervix, uterus, and all of that, and if she has found it very hard to orgasm, a lot of women say they can't have what they call a vaginal orgasm. They can only have a clitoral orgasm.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
External.
And any woman can have a vaginal orgasm. The problem is that number one, You got to heal the root problem, which is the vagina itself, and further in the root of the issue, which may be the cervix. You see what I'm saying? They once did a study where they had women have put cameras, take cameras. They was able to put a camera up in the, you know, in the pussy after
mm-hmm.
making love. And to a woman, most of all of these women's cervix was bruised. It was blood. There was a rupture in the cervix area. Why? Because that came from the vigorous thrusting. So this is one woman after another. You see? And this is actually what happens. So when a man is jugging up in you, you know what I mean, that may be feeling good to you because that's what you've become accustomed to, but he's knocking against that cervix and causing a bruising and a bruise that actually looks like it's bleeding deep inside you. So if this is the type of person you're making love to and the type of men that you're making love to over a period of time, this is what you got to remember, that the cervix is living and breathing just like the planet Earth. And so it imbibes that, it takes that in, and it starts to, that's the type of existence that it starts to live. So in one respect, a missionary position, if you get back in the missionary position, though, and instead of allowing the man to jug deep down in you, his strokes need to be totally changed from what, in other words, they don't need to be in and out anymore. You see? The fact that when we get in the missionary position, we have been taught to go in and out, in and out.
When there
that
needs to be a circular
back.
Motion, correct?
Well,
more circular.
Helps. Right, that helps. The circular
mm-hmm.
motion helps. The in and out is a rate movement, first of all. So let's not forget that. That going in and out is, that's how you rape a woman. In true reality, once you get inside the pussy, you really ain't supposed to come out. You're supposed to stay locked in. That's how the vagina is shaped like it is, because it creates a vacuum. You're not supposed
right.
to come out. If you ever notice that, if you've been deep in that pussy, and I know some of y'all are short, so y'all ain't been deep. But if you've been deep in the pussy, you'll notice that when you come out, you hear the phoom. You may hear that sound. That's because it creates a vacuum, and it's supposed to create a vacuum, because once you get in, you're really not supposed to come out of the pussy. See, that's the problem. The problem is going in and out. Circular is better. But even then, you're supposed to stay up close.
Okay.
The movement, if the penis is moving at all once it's inside the vagina, it's not moving that far off of the wall, off of the cervix, because you have a clitoral orgasm, you have the G-spot orgasm, you have what they call a vaginal orgasm, and then you have a cervical orgasm. You see? Because the cervix is at the deep root. When a woman's every one of them things is almost timed to the fact when the penis is going in and hitting the cervix. When you hear that, you see what I'm saying? But you'll
mm-hmm.
notice that on the out stroke, she ain't saying that. It's only in stroke.
Why?
Why? Because a lot of times the penis is hitting the cervix. So the problem is, well, if that's where the action is, why are you coming off the cervix? So by us being taught how to rape a woman instead of make love to the woman, then all we're doing is pounding the cervix like we're trying to knock the dough down and get inside.
Yes.
But that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be trying to ram the dough down. You're supposed to be gently knocking on that door. In fact, you're supposed to be not even knocking. You're really supposed to be massaging the cervix, because the cervix appears hard or feels hard if you stick your finger in there. But when you massage the cervix actually turns into clay instead of cement. But when you pound in it, you force the cervix to brace up itself, and it
uh-huh.
turns into cement almost. But when you
You're absolutely right, because I know through education and also experience that, you know, as you massage the cervix with the penis and the head of the penis, it
mm-hmm.
does soften it, and then that's when you go into where a lot of time a brother can actually mold your vagina. He can mold the pussy to actually fit and complement his penis in doing that.
Right, and it'll instead of the vagina widening up because of you pounding it, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like you're scaring the vagina. So the vagina is running away, really. What it'll do is it'll collapse on the penis. That's a whole different ball game, you see? And not only that, when the vagina does that and you've massaged the cervix, instead of it being cemented, it turns into clay so that it can actually pull the penis in. One of the reasons why women can't get pregnant, women who had that problem, is because the man is fucking them wrong. He pounding the cervix. And so the cervix is withdrawing and hardening up, and you have a little hole down there called the Oz. That's where the Wizard of Oz comes from.
Okay.
O-S-O-Z. That, because of the cervix hardens up, that hole becomes smaller, and therefore no semen can get in the hole and then get into the uterus and then in fallopian tubes and impregnate the woman. You see? So that, but when you change the way you make love, the cervix does what it's supposed to do, because the cervix is a barrier. It's there to protect the woman so you won't kill her. If you didn't have the cervix, the way women are fucked nowadays, you damn near, you would kill her.
All of them have hysterectomies.
Yeah, been gave a hysterectomy by the penile. You see what I'm saying?
And also,
but,
if I could add to the missionary style position, is that, you know, with that massaging in that rhythm of entry and that circular motion, if there's an equal and opposite of motion to that, it actually helps as far as developing your core muscles, your core
right.
strength, and it also helps to develop your buttocks and help to because of that squeeze. You know, so
right.
you have to have an equal and opposite return rhythmic circling when you are actually in the missionary position, because all of that the hip area, the buttocks,
right.
and the core are definitely strengthened, and
right.
That lower back as well.
Right. Well, you know, I'm only talking about this because of you, baby. Otherwise, I wouldn't.
Okay.
But but Christ took me years to learn this shit. But look, check it out. So the other thing is that spiritually speaking, when we're making love like that, the woman's natural reaction is to pull back. You see what I'm saying? So she ain't using her hips the way she should be using them. And as a result of her really actually running away from the penis, she should be coming forward. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the way you're making love to her is really her, she's really pulling away from the penis, and all of that contributes to a woman not being able to get pregnant, a woman not being able to get the proper orgasm. She may get an orgasm, but it's an orgasm that has been brought about by rape.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole
right.
different orgasm. You understand what I'm saying? That's a whole different orgasm, and she releases a whole different type of hormone. So your woman may need shit. She may need from a lot of motherfuckers that they get through making love to, they may need 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days before they can make love to your ass again. You done beat the pussy up so bad.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes.
So,
and there's found pleasure in that as well. It's
right,
conditioning
right.
yourself. Mm-hmm.
But most women, that's all they know, and most brothers, that's all we know. And so we feel like we've I told the pussy up. I knocked the bottom out. She couldn't have. She got them. She was walking crooked and. You know what I mean? She couldn't make love for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days. I mean, and the women be on the phone bragging about that shit. Like, he killed it, baby. He tore it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, I'm a greedy motherfucker. I'll be like, well, shit, I'm ready for 2, 3, and I may be old, but shit, I may be ready to hit that thing 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days in a row. I don't want the pussy out to be soaked. Like, bring your ass up in here again. I've been eating these grapes, baby.
I'm not done with you.
Right. Don't get out this bed, motherfucking bed, till I tell you to get out of it.
Oh, man. Oh, Lord.
And get back in that missionary position. I'm going to that wall, goddammit.
Oh, for those of you who are listening, we definitely want to thank you for being here and joining us. If you'd like to call in, because it looks like we are going to go into overtime, please call 323-784-3608. And also, right now, you can visit us online in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/honeysoul. Okay, Dr. Mutwa, Let's go ahead and get into some more sexual positions
that can
help us with the benefit of optimal health. What about doggy style?
I was just getting ready to say that. So that's your missionary and your doggy style. So your doggy style position, a lot of times, see, the size of a woman has a lot to do with the position that that person should be in as well, and of course the length of the penis. We all know that, you know what I mean. But oftentimes, for example, if a guy is short, and a lot of brothers are starting to get short penis. 20 or 30 years ago, brothers didn't have as short a penis as they're starting to get now. But they eat out here eating these GMO foods, and it's the food in the water. Right. Niggas going around and they're starting to look like little Asian men now. You know what I'm talking about?
And they also have some chemicals and things in the water that are actually feminizing men.
Right. You know what I mean? So it's fucking with the penis length. But nevertheless, if you're shit is short, you know what I mean, then missionary is good for you. And doggy style can be good for you too. You need to use what I call my quarter inch stroke, because with that quarter inch stroke, if you don't have a long penis, there are so many nerves at the very front of the pussy that you don't really have to necessarily worry about hitting the back. And if you need to hit the back, hit that cervix, then you can use your finger, right, or something else maybe to compensate and do it correctly and still have a good sexual experience with a woman. But many times, a man can't bring his woman to the amount of orgasm that she needs to have. Remember, on average, a woman needs to have a lot of orgasms before she can cross over into the barrier, into sainthood, as I call it, and get into the bells and whistle stage and beyond. You understand what I'm saying? So for many women, it takes a lot of orgasms, not so much where they pass out, but where they can just keep riding, keep riding, keep riding. And if you have a short penis, and even if you don't, you need to think about just a short quarter inch stroke right at the front of the pussy, whether it's in the missionary or if you're in the doggy style. And especially if you're in the doggy style, because you got to remember, there's the woman has an anterior position and a posterior position that if you're able to reach inside in the missionary position, if you turn the woman over in the doggy style position, then the inside clitoris it puts itself in a posterior position so that you can slide right up underneath it or hit it, and she can have some incredible orgasms that way too. So it all depends. So if a woman has a retroverted uterus, see, that makes a difference. The doggy style position is best for her. A woman may not know that. The reason why you ain't having no orgasm may be the fact that your uterus is retroverted. You understand what I'm saying? So when you're in the missionary position, it ain't going to do you no good. I mean, it may feel okay. You keep feeling like, I'm almost there, I'm almost there, I'm almost there, I'm almost there. But she never get there. You understand what I'm saying? So she has to be turned over. And some women kind of know this intuitively. They just know that the doggy style is better for them. But if you turn over on your stomach or you get in the doggy style position, don't allow a man to get in the back of you and pound you like he's raping you. Let him massage the pussy. And if your uterus is retroverted, it'll be incredible. He can take his time, and he can push in real slow and get in and massage that cervix from the back.
And
that'll go a long way toward healing it. Say it again.
If I can add to that, you brought up a very good point that for those brothers who are a little shorter than most, you know, even for those who are long, and you were saying that quarter in stroke, I want to go ahead and agree with that as far as being a woman, is that, you know, it's not necessarily – you know, that you need to have the whole length of the penis inside, you know, the vagina. Really, that first 2 to 3 inches are the most stimulated because of that G-spot area. So if you learn the slow stroke, you know, or in that slow grind, right up in that first 2 to 3 inches, in that area right there, and you kind of just tease it right up in that area, and also pulling out and tapping gently, on that entry and also on the clitoris has been known to develop women to a higher state of orgasm.
Right.
And take your time. Take your time.
Right. There you go. Take your time, because the quarter inch stroke not only that, but the coordinating stroke, you don't even have to even go deep inside, you know, of a woman. In fact, as part of the sexual arts, many of your lovemaking sessions need to just be geared on the coordinating stroke. That's all. That's the furthest that you go.
Right.
You don't even go deep into the pussy. I mean, for like days on end, you keep it a coordinating stroke, and she's still going to have incredible orgasms. You know, but what's happening is by using that coordinating stroke, what you're doing is it's like you're moving the cervix forward, because the cervix will be still going through convulsions in the back when you use that coordinating stroke, and it'll actually be coming forward. You see what I'm saying? So by the time that you do make love and go inside the pussy, the cervix, you won't have to go chasing the pussy. I mean, you won't have to go chasing the cervix. The cervix will have risen up to meet you, because it will have dropped
right.
down.
Right.
You see? So
exactly. And
that's
if I could add to that on a metaphysical level, it's that also right there in that area where that kundalini, that chi energy and creative life force energy, and that light energy is located. It's right there within that sacral chakra, right there at that 2 to 3 inch mark. So what
right.
you're actually doing is you are generating the energy, and
right.
you are rising that energy upward through those sacred portals, those seven chakras, out through that pineal gland. Eventually, you know, when you get that orgasm, but that needs to be maintained. And that is something that we need to learn. That in itself is an art.
Right, right, and the cervix, as I was speaking about earlier, would have become like clay by that time, you see, and that's exactly what you want. So you want the pussy eye to actually literally greet you when you come in, and you can make that happen more if you set up the foreplay, so to speak, with the quarter inch, or by not going deep into the woman's vagina when you're making love to her all the time. Don't go so far in, just go right there. Because you got to look at it. You got a lot of time, so again, what's the rush? Take your time. You got 4, 5, 6 days of making love, because that's literally damn near how long the love making should last. I mean, it's a progression. So by the time you get to day 3 or 4 or what have you, and you've been creating this environment, then you're gonna you will have created such a heavenly environment that you'll both be able to go to a whole different. You're taking your love making to a whole different level, because now you're actually really trying to understand what's going on inside the vagina itself.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah, and you're actually going onto another vibration and another frequency. You're going into the metaphysics of sex or sexuality.
You're going into the metaphysical sex. You're going into the religion. You're going to the religion of sex. You're getting the Christos. You know what I mean? You're getting the... You're getting the enormous, so you got your missionary, you got your doggy, the woman on top position, for example. A lot of times when a woman is on top in a man's lap, for example, or what have you, or if she's on the counter and you're standing up, these top positions really have a lot to do with healing a woman's vagina. If a woman's vagina has been traumatized, you understand what I'm saying? If it has been traumatized, then when she's sitting on your lap, those are great positions for healing. Those
okay.
are really great positions when she's on, because, matter of fact, this is one of the main reasons that many women like to be on top, because they like to be able to control the depth of the stroke.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You see? And the reason that is because most of the men that they've been fucking hasn't known how to control the depth of the stroke, and they can't come. But they can come when they get on top. But see, if the nigga that, the brother that they was with, knew how to control the stroke, had dick control, then they would. And that would be actually be a better position for become. Your orgasm can be much more intenser when you're in a missionary position, or if you're in a, say, perhaps in a doggy style position, because the inside clitoris is what I call it. You know, the clitoris that we see is only represents about a quarter of what the clitoris is. The clitoris is huge. So the clitoris that we see on the outside is just a little button. Most of the clitoris is inside the pussy.
And it comes out. It
comes out. Right.
Yes.
It comes out. It goes
up under
the body. Right.
Come
the clitoris
up under
lives
the
in the hood. The clitoris lives in the hood. Right. So you see that little button, and then it goes in and it comes out. It goes up and it comes out through the nipples, because the nipples is the opposite end of the clitoris. You see? So this is why many women can come when you suck on their nipples, because it's the other end of the clitoris. So when you in a doggy style position, a lot of times, for example, that clitoris literally hangs down in the inside. When the woman's on her stomach, the
right.
top of the vagina hangs down. It's like little nipples, little rough nipples inside the vagina, and they all hang down like a cow. When you're milking them, you know you milk a cow and her nipples are hanging down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, inside the clitoris, you have the exact same thing, but they're very miniature. So when a woman gets in the doggy style position, those nipples or those little bumps inflate and they hang. And so for many women, when you're going in from that angle, they have an awesome chance to get a huge orgasm. But the thing is, you can't pound it, because when you pound it, you're just gonna fuck it up.
Right, and also
she's in
like
a very sensitive
that,
position.
That the quadriceps and the glutes are get stronger when you are actually in the doggy style position, as well as you can maintain a good arm workout depending on how you alter your
right.
arm movement as well.
Right.
And
right.
As far as with the cowgirl position, which is what Doc was talking about riding it, and you're very right that many of us actually like that position more because it gives us that control. And also,
right.
I find that reverse cowgirl is
right.
an exceptionally great position because you are not only maintaining control, but if you lean forward towards his feet, towards his toes, and you hold his ankles, you actually will be able to get that stimulation on your clitoral area. His penis
mm-hmm.
is able to massage the cervix more,
mm-hmm.
and because there's a grinding motion there, as well as his visual for looking at your ass bounce up and down. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Was like awesome for him. You know?
I ain't looking at the ass. I'm eating ass, baby.
Yeah. So, you know, that reverse cowgirl and that tilt also gives you control
right.
as far as having that quarter inch thrust in that 2-inch, because it actually helps to stimulate the G-spot much better as well when you're in that reverse cowgirl position.
Right. Really, and really, you know, and in any of those positions, missionary, doggy style, woman on top, scissors, you know what I mean? There are some
mm-hmm.
positions where a woman can lay on the back and fold her legs up was a variation on the missionary. The side or the spoon position and come from behind. The spoon
mm-hmm.
position is really good for women who are pregnant, who are already pregnant, for example.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but all of the positions really are geared toward the strokes or whatever, are geared toward the healing of the vagina, and at the same time not producing trauma to a man's penis, because that, remember now, the penis has to get that blood in it, and it's a muscle in many respects. And many men have essentially, when they get older, for example, one of the reasons they can't get erection is because they've been traumatizing their own penis from years of pounding. It's like you've been punching your fist into a wall. You have a
cervical
wall.
And they can't get that proper blood flow.
They can't get the problem of blood flow because the veins have been distorted.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? But you're not thinking about that when you're 18, 19, 20, and nobody's told you how to fuck.
Right.
You see? So,
and for those of you who are listening, if you want to stay on the show, please call 323-784-3608 because we're going to go into overtime. Now, go ahead, Doc.
Right. So nobody has told you how to fuck. So from 18 and whatever all these years you've been fucking, you've basically been traumatizing your own penis, thinking that, you know, you're beating pussy up. You know what I mean? And that ain't been doing you no good, and that has not been doing the woman that you're making love to any good, you see? So you actually have to slow it all the way down. In fact, I am not a proponent of stroking at all. When I talk about the missing
uh-huh.
stroke, it needs to be missing, because I'm not a proponent of stroking at all. My belief, and they don't mean this right, but my belief, and from just simply my study, is once I'm inside the pussy, I'm really not stroking anymore. I'm really not pulling out. Now, having said that, when you're in, and this goes back, no matter what position you're in, woman on top, missionary, doggy style, any of that, once you are in, your strokes should be kept to a minimum, or you're pulling out or whatever should be kept to a minimum, because you don't want to break the seal. Once you're in the woman's vagina, when it first comes in, before you start traumatizing by beating it up, the woman's vagina collapses and will create a seal. You break the seal every time you pull out.
Mm.
And this creates
okay.
to making it hard for women to get a goddamn orgasm because you keep breaking the motherfucking seal. So once you're in, stay in. You know, the furthest you want to pull out might be on the opposite end. Just like when you before you go into the pussy, you only go in a quarter stroke. Once you get in, you only pull out a quarter stroke. A quarter inch is what I'm saying. You only pull out like a quarter inch, just enough to come out. And if you do that right, that quarter inch that you pull out will be just like you pulling all the way out and going all the way back in, that some women like. They feel like they can't get an orgasm unless the man is pounding and he's really hitting it. Well, if you do that right, if you pull back just a quarter inch while you're having sex with a woman, and you in that position, and the vagina has created a seal around the penis, simply by pulling out a quarter inch and going back in with the right particular motion, would feel like she's being pounded like a motherfucker is pulling all the way out. So you take a motherfucker that's pulling all the way out, and he's pounding, right? And you take somebody who knows about that quarter inch stroke and how to move his hip, she'll get the same result without all the bruising to the vagina, though.
Okay.
You see, so you don't need to come out. We're coming out of the pussy when we don't need to be coming out of the pussy. When you come out of the pussy, you're coming out too much. You break the vacuum seal. You break the connection. You break the internal embrace that you're supposed to stay in. So you fucking up a whole lot of spiritual shit when you pulling out your penis so you can take a look at it. You know what I'm talking about?
The vanity of
it. Hey, you want to see your own dick? I don't want to see mine. You hear me? I don't want to see nothing but nuts.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? I want to see the dough knockers. That's all. I don't want to see the mother. I want her to feel it. So we got to change our whole motherfucking game around the way we do this shit. Because vanity has creeped in and taught us how, wow, man, I need to take a look at this motherfucker. I want her to see how long it is or whatever. You know what I mean? And you're pulling all the way out, and you just ruining it. And since she don't know any better, she lets you do it.
Right, right.
But
now,
as soon as she want to get an orgasm, she get on top.
Yeah, exactly.
You see?
And
so
that's usually how it goes.
That motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
See, but if she on her back and you do it properly, she'll have her strongest orgasm when you laying on top of her and y'all connecting and that shit is done proper. She'll have a whole entire different orgasm because the exact same connection that she's looking for, she'll be able to get it. When you laying on your back in general, when you laying on your back, all your organs collapse. This ain't just in sex. This is in sleep too. So if you land on your back in a sexual position and you're actually having sex, all your organs have collapsed into the center. You're going to have a much stronger orgasm that particular way once you start reconfiguring how you make love and allow it to happen and allow the surrender to come in. Women really can't surrender now because the man is beating the pussy up and it's dangerous to try to surrender.
And I want to just tap into that a little bit. Surrender, sexual surrender is necessary for the orgasms that me and Dr. Moutoir are talking about.
Correct.
No shame, no guilt, no fear. However, guided by that sexual intuition that Dr. Moutoir talked about, guided by your sexual spirit, having that level of trust and that level of intimacy is very important in order to sexually surrender, to have that that orgasm with all those bells and whistles and to move through that chakra system and
right.
become, you know, metaphysical and have that sex magic. Sexual surrender is 100% essential.
Right, but you have to have a level of trust. You have to have a level of trust, and that comes through all of the speaking and the assuredness that a woman gets from her man and that you get from your woman when y'all spend a lot of time speaking and finding out her expectations. You know what I mean? You got to, like I often say, one of the best lovers I ever had was a lesbian. She took about 2 or 3 hours before she even let me get the pussy. Just talking to me, telling me what she like and how she likes it and, you know, what she expected and so on and so forth. And that was the first time a woman really sat down with me and told me, you know, what she expected when in the bed. But, you know, not in a very arrogant way. You know, it was a very humble way, and she was just telling me what she liked. She was like, look, when I get ready to come, I want you to pull my hair. I was like, okay. I didn't know that, but that was very key. And I asked her, well, why do you want me to pull your hair? Well, because that just heightens the effect for me. I was like, okay. So I remember that. You see what I'm saying? So, but I took my takeaway from that, you know, years later, is how we do not spend enough time talking to one another before we even get to the bedroom about what we like.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And about what stimulates us.
Right.
What causes me to surrender, you know what I mean, when we get to that particular moment, because we're in a hurry and we're rushing through and we're just in a prey mode and we're just trying to conquer. You see what I'm saying? We're trying to get that notch on the belt, you know. I talk a lot of shit and whatever, but I don't really, you know, I'm not really into, you know, trying to conquer. You know, not at this age. I'm not trying to paint a perfect picture of myself because I was young and did all that shit. But what I'm saying, at some point I learned long ago that's really not where it's at. And I wish I had known this when I was young because I wasted a lot of nuts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I busted a lot of nuts that I could still have. That's valuable shit I lost. You know what I mean? So, but better late than never. So now the emphasis on getting to know the person, getting to talk to the woman, getting to understand what she needs to be able to help her get to her spiritual level in the bedroom. So all of this is just part of the sexual arts, and it's something that is necessary if we're going to start having our relationships not only be sexually good, but to be spiritually good, and so that we can stay connected to one another for long periods of time instead of burning the candle out after 1 or 2 years or 6 months. Or, you know, if that's what you're into, that's what the contract is, because I'm often talking about contracts, get your contract right. If y'all contract is, hey, look, we're going to fuck good for 6 months and that's going to be it, cool. I don't knock nobody's hustle, and if that's what you're into. But that's not what I'm into. I like, if I can make it last as long, I want it to last as long as possible the same way I do when I'm making love. I want to make it last as long as possible if it feels this good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why not keep the high going?
Now, Doc, I also want to bring up the fact that during the cowgirl position, it's many, you know, look at it much like riding a horse. So a lot of times, the buttocks is worked out, the core, the abs, you have the quads that are also being worked out, the calves, and a lot of times you can modify that cowgirl position and
right.
You can actually work out different muscle groups just by changing the position of your feet. So, like, you might go into the cowgirl position, you do a squat, and that's when you are working, you know, all that area of the butt, the legs, the hips, the calves, you know, and you can lean in on your hands. Now you created some other, you know, muscles that probably haven't even been targeted or touched in quite a while. And that's why sometimes when you find yourself in all these different sexual positions, it can actually be really a great workout, and you find yourself sore.
Yeah, your legs are sore and everything else. Right.
Yeah, because you haven't worked out those muscles, you know.
You know, a good position is when you know, when a woman's legs is wide open. That can be a good position for oftentimes for women who if a woman is has a small vagina, many women have a small tract.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, you know, see, because, again, when a woman is making love, one of the problems is that as men, we don't know how to bring a woman to orgasm. You see, so since a lot of women are having orgasms, one of the issues is because their tract may be too small. You know what I mean? A woman can be big and have a small tract. You know what I mean?
Right. So and by tract, you're saying the measurement from the actual entry to the cervix, correct?
Right, and the width.
Okay, width.
Right, and the width, she can be kind of tight. In other words, when she gets aroused, it may not open up as much as somebody else. So
mm-hmm.
oftentimes the best position may be for her the legs to be wide open and you hitting it. You know what I mean? So you may have to make sure she's in a position where her feet is always on the wall and she can stretch them out across that wall. You know what I mean? Your back is to the wall. You see what I'm saying? And you in between, her legs are wide open. But again, this comes from the man having a responsibility to talk to a woman he's about to make love to, and her knowing her body as well, you know what I mean, about how her vagina works. A lot of women don't know enough about their own vagina.
Right.
That's very key. But you need to spend that type of quality time with yourself, you know, experimenting, seeing.
Right, and for some of you sisters who are listening, if you even just take a mirror and just, you know, sit down or get on the edge of the toilet or get on the edge of the bed and put your legs up and you know, put
mm-hmm.
your feet on the bed and open up wide and take that mirror and actually
mm-hmm.
examine your vagina. Pull the labia and the vulva back and look at it
mm-hmm.
and touch it. Pull the hood
mm-hmm.
back to the clitoris,
ooh.
You know, put your fingers
oh.
and insert them in your mm-hmm. entry and kind of feel around the hole and just really
yes.
examine the flower, you know, because it's
mm-hmm.
a flowering, you know, it actually, when it gets excited, it actually becomes puffy and it rises and has
mm-hmm.
these pillowy walls. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Dr. Mutois, how
the
becomes a pillow.
I'm listening to you, and I'm like, if you don't examine it, let me examine it. I will show you. I will examine it. I will show you how it works. If you don't know how it works, let me help you. I'll be glad to show you how it works.
Wait, Brian and Nut got a song saying, "Let me show you how the pussy works."
Well, I'm a different type of gynecologist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I examine the pussy out for a whole different reason. You hear me?
Yes.
I'm examining for pleasure.
Indeed.
Show you how it works, baby. Because you know, it's not just because you have a pussy, I don't mean you know how it works. You know
that's
what
true.
I mean? And
I'm finding that a lot of women don't understand how to use their suction, their walls.
Right.
You know, they don't know how to pull that muscle, and they don't know that
right.
the vagina walls are actually muscles. They are
right.
muscles. You know, and they contract and they constrict. They make you know you can actually manipulate the penis
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
your vagina muscles.
It's like the geisha girls, you know, and from the old time. When I say geisha girls, I know most of us think of Asian, but you got to remember the first Asians was black folks. Okay, the first geisha girls and first prostitutes, so sacred prostitutes and all of that were black folks.
Uh-huh.
Black folks were on the thrones of every country in this world at one point in developing the sexual arts that's no longer associated with us, though. It's been usurped. That has been taken away from us. But having said that, these geisha girls would, once you were inside, they had worked, learned how to use their muscles to keep that thing locked in. In fact, they were famous for it. Once you were inside, you couldn't get out, even if you wanted
yeah,
to.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they knew how to lock it up, and it was important.
Lock it up. Call that butterfly lock.
There you go. It was important to lock it in. And that's my,
mm-hmm.
it goes back to what I'm saying. You're really supposed to be locked in, and all your stroking, I call it the stroke and no stroke. All your stroking is inside the pussy instead of coming out. You're actually really not coming out. You're stroking on the inside. You see what I'm saying? So your penis is moving, but it ain't moving out. It's moving within.
Right.
So that's a whole
right.
different stroke. And but
that's
they talk.
Grind.
It's a grind. It's a combination grind, and it's a combination
mm-hmm.
stroke. So they talk their clients. This lock and this particular movement, so that the penis could actually be moving within the vagina, but it wasn't actually moving out and in. It was actually just moving kind of around inside. You see? So that's a whole different stroke, and that's where we have to start taking our lovemaking back to, because if you start taking your lovemaking back to that and spend time learning that, it would change your whole entire relationship with your woman. I mean, this information that we're talking about tonight is worth thousands of dollars. They charge you that much in a seminar for it. Just knowing how to make love, because it's going to change the way you relate to your woman. It's going to change the type of hormones that the vagina produces. She's not going to be producing rape hormones. She's going to actually be producing love hormones. You see, so that's a whole different type of feel now when you are making love. You know, for example, one of the main reasons that people get a runner's high and get endorphins is because when they run, every time your foot hits the ground, you produce damn near three or four times your body weight, and you have traumatized your body so much that it has to release endorphins to counter the pain. If it didn't, you would be in tremendous pain. So your body produces endorphins, and you get what they call a runner's high. So this is why I recommend people that they do not run. Don't run. Walk. When you are doing your exercise, or keep your running to a very minimum, because it's traumatic and it can be a contributor to Parkinson's disease, because that shock has to go up the back of your spine, which is where your brain sits, and it produces trauma to your brain. So this is why you shouldn't run. And one of the quiet secrets right now is a lot of people are getting Parkinson's disease from a lifetime of running.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? In the same way, from a lifetime of letting a man rape you and traumatize your vagina, you can grow to be old and bitter, right? You can grow to have all type of emotional trauma, don't even realize where it traces back to. It traces back to how you allow a man to make love to you. It traces back to how you are using your penis to make love to a woman. You
and
are injured, traumatized.
Sisters, it is very important that you communicate with your lovers and your mate, and you let them know your desires of what you need. You know, ask yourself, you know, give yourself self-pleasure so that you can even know what feels good to you. Because like we said in the beginning, you know, a lot of times men have taught us what we so-called like. But we really don't know for ourselves what it is that turns us on and can stimulate us, because we haven't went outside of that system of sexuality or lovemaking to even, you know, explore and experience and find that out. So communicate that most definitely with your partner and your lover.
Right, and start using, as you start getting more into your sacred aspect, one of the most important things that you can do in your sexual positions, there's a term, it's called lordosis, L-O-R, like Lord, Lord have mercy, L-O-R-D-O-S-I-S, lordosis. Lordosis means is a sexual position in which the woman indicates that she's ready. So a lot of times you see an animal, they'll get in a lordosis position, and it's normally in a doggy style position or what have you, where they arch their back or they arch their hind parts to let the male know that they're ready.
Or they signal off their chemicals and their hormones, also known as pheromones, and also where you could pick up, you know, on that scent. And a lot of times it's not even a scent you really can recognize just consciously. It's an unconscious scent in vibration that you pick up on, and you know that this woman is ripe and ready to mate.
Ripe and ready to mate. She sends off a scent right now. You know what I mean?
And the signals. Mm-hmm.
Right. Sends off a signal. So the ass is raised up, and oftentimes the ass is raised up because, and they stay in that position. So in other words, the head is down, the ass is up, like in a doggy style position, specifically if you're trying to get pregnant. But when a woman is in a lordosis position, this is real important, because when she's in a lordosis position, she's really trying to get the most out of the entry when the man is getting ready to enter her. But what happens is we tend to fuck it up because we go right into the rape mode and we're raping a woman, and since she don't know the difference, she allows that to happen. But if she got in the lordosis position, which is the surrender position with the head extremely down and the ass more elevated, and we enter properly and move properly, then that whole entire position would change. And likewise, when she's on her back, if there's a pillow underneath the buttocks or in the small of the back, you see,
right.
Because you need to create an elevation where the penis can literally slide down into the back and be able to hit the cervix. But when a woman allows that, it's almost a huge element of trust there, because our responsibility then is not to misplace that trust and start going into rape mode where we're bruising the cervix in the back.
Okay. So, Dr. Moutois, what would you like to say to our listeners and kind of give a conclusion or summary or some solutions to becoming a more sexually positioned for optimal health?
Yeah, I would say that I would like to reiterate something I said earlier, which is, number one, slow down. Slow down your entry. You know, let's just assume or presume that you've done all of the talking and you've spoken to your woman, she's spoken to you, and now you've come to the point where y'all are ready to make love. You know, your entry needs to be slow. You know what I mean? A lot of times when we put the penis in, you know, we just go ahead and put it right on in because we figure the pussy is wet. Okay, cool, we all the way in. But the entry needs to be slow, because remember, now by putting the penis in very slow, you're creating a force field. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, I could talk about this all day because it's such an art, but what you're doing, you're creating a force field when you put that penis in slow. And all of this goes towards helping your woman being able to achieve the orgasm that she needs to get. You know what I mean? So slow down. That would be the number one thing. The number two thing would be, take your mind off of the idea of stroking and put your mind more out on the idea of holding your woman, getting in close and staying in place, and just like you slow dancing. Just keep the rhythm, stay close, stay tight. You understand what I'm saying? And because a lot of time when you put your penis in too fast, you know, all you're going to do is bust. You see? And many women, when they don't realize that, they'll tell a man, you know, women are just as much of a hairy as men are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Come on. Shit,
yeah.
Come on now. Damn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I've had to tell a woman, look, that's not how I get down, baby. I can't fuck in a hairy like that. You know what I mean? All you're going to do is make me bust a nut. I know my dick. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And so pussy is all powerful, and a woman can bust a man off in 30 seconds, really. You know what I mean? And so I'm a circumcised nigga. So if you know, I can really feel that thing. So
you're more tender. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hey, look, I bust like a fart in the dust storm. Bip! I'm through.
Okay.
I was just getting started. I tried to tell you. You know what I mean? Slow down,
yeah.
Baby. But slow down. But the longer it goes, right? The slower that we go, we be making love all night. You see what I'm saying? Let it rise, let it come down. Let it rise, let it come. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Where you going? We ain't got nowhere to go. Our plan is to be in this bedroom or whatever we doing for a certain at the time. You ain't got no time clock. You don't know how long it's gonna last, but you just know it's gonna last a long time. So slow down, enjoy the ride, and take the opportunity to truly explore the person that you're making love to, and, you know.
Okay, now, so let our listeners know how they can contact you and where they can find you.
You having any issues along those lines, I'm going to be getting out a lot more, doing some seminars and whatnot. Like I said, especially with me and Honey Soul, we're working on something as far as that is concerned. But outside of that, 314-875-0482, you know, I counsel men and women. I just had a conversation with a brother the other day he was telling me that his issue was premature ejaculation. And many of us, you know, brothers have suffered from that, but we don't really talk about it. You know what I'm saying? But it's important to know, because premature ejaculation is very easy to conquer. And part of the solution is taking your time. So.
And breathing. Concentrating on your breathing.
Right. And breathing. And breathing. Mm-hmm. So they can also, so 314-875-0482, or they can go to my website. I have a book called The Immortality Guide. It's got a lot of information in there about health, which would be a third thing that I would say. Change your health, because when you start changing what you eat, it's going to contribute to your sperm. It's going to contribute to, especially with men, we have hydraulics, and the hydraulics in our penis contribute a whole lot to us being able to get, you know, erections in our later age. And especially for brothers around my age, mid-50s and on, being able to maintain an erection and still get an erection, you know, is important. I know brothers that are like 35, 36, and I get calls from them all year long about they don't even have an erection when they get up in the morning oftentimes. You know what I mean? You start keeping your erections healthy and eating correct, your penis should wake up before you do. You know what I mean? And that's the key.
Right. If
the penis start beating you up in the morning, hello.
That morning wood.
If you're still in your 50s and you're getting that morning wood, that's good, because you're good. And some of us are genetically gifted, and we just have that without necessarily a lot of work. But you got to think beyond 55, 60 years of age, right, because the ancient arts tell us that when we even get 80 and whatnot, we should still be able to get that wood.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And still be able to engage in the sexual arts. So the watchword is changing what you eat and changing what you put inside your body. You know what I mean? So what you have to think about everything that you're getting ready to eat, because it's going to have a contribution to your testosterone and your androgen and all of the male sexual hormones that become important as you get old, especially 40 and 45. Same way with women. You know, that has a lot to do, the foods that you eat have a lot to do with even the sensitivity and your ability to orgasm as you get older, you see? So the fourth thing that I would like to say is that develop you a workout program, a conditioning program, because just as you said earlier about your thighs being sore and all of that, when you truly start engaging in the sexual art, it's a form of the highest form of yoga. And yoga itself is based on a lot of sexual positions and things that contribute to those sexual positions, being able to move, being able to stretch. So you need to develop a conditioning program that gets your heart rate up at least twice a week over, say, 140 or 170 beats per minute.
And talking about yoga position, and if you ever want to do a yoga position, try it in downward dog. Ooh, Lord have mercy.
Right. Right. And we didn't talk about the other sexual position that most people don't realize, which is cunnilingus.
Mm-hmm.
Giving head.
Oral sex. Yeah.
Very important. That's a very key position, because it's many women find, because of the way their clitoris is shaped, you got to spend a lot of time looking at the pussy to see how the clitoris is shaped, because that way that may let you know that it's best to be eating from behind or eating from the front or from the side. And many women have an intuitive feel. They know how they like their clitoris to be eaten, and that has a lot to do with the way it's shaped, you see. But you won't know this if you don't really spend a lot of time talking about it and investigating that and looking at it, you know.
And communicating with the vagina.
And communicating with the vagina.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. The clitoris itself has a small hole in it so that it emits what you call sebum, S-E-B-U-M, which is a form of grease, just like the penis. I mean, it has pre-cum. So if you suck on that clitoris, you can get plenty of sebum and nectar out of that clitoris. So it's there, and it needs to be utilized, because it will contribute to a woman being able to have an orgasm and being able to, for you to being able to drink that nectar. But that it's just a small hole in their clitoris that producing the oil. So many women, when they take off their panties, for example, they see, sometimes they can see a white oil or paste in their panties from the clitoris. That comes from the clitoris. You see? So all that type of thing is important to know.
And just to go ahead and answer that as well, is when you are sucking the clitoris and getting that sebum, that nectar, it's very important that a woman's diet be live foods, lots of fruits and vegetables,
right,
so that she can be very tasty and very sweet upon her deliciousness, as I should say.
Right, right. It's the same type of flow that men, right. We ejaculate, you know, or whatever. It's the exact same thing. So what you eat, change the way you eat, especially 2 or 3 days, if you know you're getting ready to get down, really change what you're getting ready to eat. Do a 24-hour fast or something like that and allow yourself, your body to clear out, and then start bringing fruits and vegetables and celery, a lot of the aphrodisiac fruits like avocados and tomatoes and onions and all of that type of thing.
Banana.
Yeah, the antibiotics. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And so.
And something that you brought up that was very important as well that we didn't really get a chance to get into, but I'm sure we'll be able to have another show on that. Also, if you want to start experiencing higher levels of orgasmic energy, fasting is necessary and essential. And if you could just try to, stay away from foods for at least, 24 to 48 hours, and then maybe take on some juice or something, and then go into, the love, the act of love making, you will find that your orgasms and even just the process of touching and foreplay will be more intense.
Right, right. And the angles, you know what I mean? So that has a lot to do with your, positions you're moving to after the foreplay and all of that is the angles. So that comes from studying and studying yourself, and that comes from knowing what you like. You know, a lot of women like deep penetration. You know what I mean? If you're a woman that likes deep penetration, then that means you need somebody to stay inside. You may not realize that, but that's what you need. That's what you're looking for. So most brothers can't get that deep penetration unless they feel like they pull out and then come slamming down, you see. But what the woman is after, she's after that penis against the back of her cervix. That's what she's after because she's trying to get a cervical orgasm. So many women don't get a cervical orgasm, you know what I mean? They get a combination of things. But if she wants to increase her ability to get orgasm, once she starts getting real cervical orgasms from the man changing his position from the stroke to the stroke of no stroke and staying in position, her cervix wall, like I said, will become like clay, and it will become a whole lot easier for her to orgasm from the first time that the head of the penis touches the cervix. So you have to start changing the way the lovemaking is done in the various in those various positions from, you know.
Now, Dr. Mutar, when will that book be available for?
Nigga Sutra?
Yes.
Yeah, Nigga Sutra will be available hopefully sometime this year. I'm working on about 4 or 5 other books at the same time. And so
okay.
I'm just typical of myself. I just take my time. I'm trying to get to one or the other, whichever way the spirit moves me, but the plan is to have it out before 2013 because this is a very high spiritual year that we're in. And just speaking about the astrological connection to our sexual lives, this is a very high spiritual year that we're in. And the heightened levels of our sexual lives is real high now and is paramount because we are in the year of the snake, according to Chinese astrology. And so the year of the snake is a very high sexual, procreative, and reproductive year that we in has to do with a whole lot with life and death and the year and the number 13. So sex right now is paramount. It's paramount. So this is one of the main reasons I want to get the book out, and one of the main reasons that I'm talking so much about sex now and the connection between the man and the woman.
Okay. Well, we definitely want to thank you for joining us here on Honey Soul Radio, and we hope to have you back in the future. Can you do that for us?
Oh, yeah. You know I'm always looking for return trip, and I appreciate you inviting me back into the boudoir, baby.
Yes, of course. I enjoy our love making and our sexual healing that we provide together with one another. And also, I put up in the chat room, for those who are still in the chat room, the link, which is thepeopleshealer.com. And I need to go ahead and spell that out for you. I'm sure that is www.thepeopleshealer.com. So go ahead and check out Dr. Moutois there. You can also get his book, The Immortality Guide, which is an awesome book on revolutionary tips for optimum health and wellness. Now, we want to thank you for joining us on Honey Soul Radio. Now, join us here Tuesday, February 19th, for yet another sweet episode as Lady T and myself will discuss the return of loving sex after loss. So make sure you turn in, and there will be plenty of lovemaking Honey Soul music that we'll be able to enjoy. And for all of your fun-loving boudoir accessories, visit us online at honeyloveromance.com. Love is L-U-V. Fan us on Facebook, facebook.com/honeyloveromance. Also, Honey Soul has a Facebook page, facebook.com/honeysoulradio, and add a little honey to your flavor. Read sexy, honeyloveromancemagazine.com, and living the sensual and loving the delicious. And you can check me out on Twitter, twitter.com/thehoneydiva, all one word. Now make good love and keep your love alive and vibrant by exploring your sensuality. Enjoy passion and experience all six senses, with the sixth being love. Take the time to cultivate passion and pleasure. Give yourself permission to honor your sensuality and birth those ideas, visions, and things that only sexual creativity and love can make manifest. Celebrate and embrace all that you are. Be love and be loved. Until we meet again, Honey Soul Radio, good night.
I saw you. Tell me, how long has it been? I'm so glad to see you, 'cause I really love you. You are my only friend. You for me, me for you. I still love you. Guess I.